Our second lesson today is from Revelations, chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." May the Lord add his blessing to this message.
Singing to the Lord, praising the Lord. And some very wise person just this morning told me that today when you sing, you pray twice. Thank you for that. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Music. I've been involved in music my whole life. From the little ditties my dad used to sing to me. To getting caught singing in the bathroom in the first grade. I've always been involved in music. But the music of today sort of gets me. Some of it's so vulgar. Some of it is just, I don't understand it. I don't get it. How many of you watch the Super Bowl? Yeah, quite a few of you. How many watch the halftime show at the Super Bowl? Few of you. It was spectacular. Red, white, and blue, people dancing, I mean, hundreds of singers and dancers. They even threw in Uncle Sam here and there. I mean, it was just a spectacular show. I didn't understand a word of it. Now, I'm not deaf to the post, I mean, I know that. But even though I could hear it volume-wise, I couldn't understand it. You know, how many of you in here were raised in the 50s? Anybody besides me? A few of you. Yeah. That was music you could understand. That was music you could get your heart into. You could get your mind into. I mean, your lyrics made sense. How could you go wrong with "You were nothing but a hound"? Or how about "Fruity, fruity, fall, fruity"? I mean, wow. Or how about, "You shake my nerves and you grab them underneath"? This was music you could get into. You could love it. You could love it. How many of you remember your first big high school dance? Not those little sixth grade, eighth grade mixers, but the first like boy, girl dance. How many of you remember that? You know, the poodle skirt? It's not as dead by the poodle skirt. Oh, man. Those were the days. My first big dance. Man, did I have plans for that night. Wow. I saved up a lot of money. I worked multiple jobs as a kid. 12, 13, 14. I saved up my money. I'm about 15 at this time. And it was first big dance of the fall. And man, did I have plans. I had gone out with my money that I saved. And I had bought this pair of slacks that were charcoal. I don't know if you're all gray. Charcoal had a mixture of black and gray. And these slacks had beaks which bounced in her own pocket. I had this pink shirt. This pink shirt with purple stitching. Oh, I mean, it was, and of course, my dirty box shoes with my little bag where you powdered them. If someone had the audacity to step on, man, I was ready to go. And see, I was kind of a dual threat kid. Because of my little 45 RPM one record player at a time, record player, I sat in my basement hour after hour, and with a couple bucks a week, I could buy 3 new 45 RPM records. And I'd sit down there and listen until I could imitate every artist in Connecticut. The Platters, Ritchie Valens, Elvis, I could imitate them all. So on the dance floor, see, I could sing for all the dance floor. When I met Paul, I also could dance. An older girl lived next door to me when I was 11 or 12 years old, taught me all the new dances, fast dances. So man, I had to dance. You know, the lot two seat match. Oh man, I was ready to go. The advantage of that is when you're out there dancing slow dances and the fast dances come on, all the boys desert like rats leaving the Titanic because they couldn't dance. But I could stay for it. And I have friends for that. I'm getting ready to leave. My mother stopped me. She looked at me and she said, "You really have a nice son." She tried to turn it on my collar and pull it for me, collar up. And I had to turn that down and say, "No." She looked me in the eye. She said, "Son, be the one who asks the girls to dance, but nobody else asks the difference." Oh, my. I went and took her advice. I had a great time. Met some new people, had a lot of fun, made some longtime friends. And I learned multiple lessons, I think. Multiple lessons. The first lesson I learned was don't ever talk to your mother just before you go around.
Production, orchestra, the whole bit of the Messiah
the Messiah completed the hallelujah chorus. What lessons I learned from that. Watching the faces, watching the tears, watching the faces of the people listening to Handel's brilliant work of the Messiah. Singing in cathedrals in Europe, had a chance to go on a tour, 31 of us, singing in cathedrals in Europe. We sang in St. Matt's, we sang in Etowah, we sang in Verdun, and it was just marvelous experience. But we sang in this little tiny, almost a cathedral, a little tiny church in Rottenburg, Germany, the walls of Rottenburg. The church was built in the 9th century. And we were to do the music for the service from up in this balcony. That was about 9,500 of the balcony. I knew it was hot. And we, of course, were wearing tuxedos. The master of bow ties, the world, girls were wearing gowns. So the plan was pretty much to sing our songs in the service of the teacher. Get out of there. Pastor said to us, after the service, would you mind doing a concert? We thought it was wow, wonderful. We said, yeah, we'll do a concert. And he said, give the people 10 minutes so those that want to leave can leave. And he said, we don't want to leave. And we looked at him, and he said, they don't have to hear this music. They don't get to hear a choir like this singing this kind of music. Thousands of miles from home, taking things for granted, when people may not have the opportunity to sing the music or hear the music that we sing in your day. It would be a learning experience. I want to fast forward now to about 10 years ago. I was a mere lad, about 75, and probably the greatest creation in the history of music has been around for a while. I mean, this was an invention that changed the music world for karaoke. You could be a star. You didn't have to remember the words or right there in front of you. You know, you didn't even have that same tool because they played the music for you. How cool was that? And a buddy of mine and I, some of you remember Lisa and I did karaoke shows. He had all the equipment, played all the tunes and all that, and the MC. For 3-4 years, we did every Thursday night in the summer at the Crossroads in Mackinac City. 3 hours karaoke. Met some wonderful, wonderful people. Had a lot of fun. But every show, he and I would sing a song at the end. He'd do it on. I didn't want it. We always did Willie Nelson. We even did Willie Nelson better than Willie Nelson did Willie Nelson. And I always did Elvis or Sinatra. Closed once with a lot of this. One particular Sinatra song. I'd like to grab it for you here.
I've had a few, but then again, Two few dimensions, great to see the lips moving out there. I did what I had to do and I saw it through. Without exemption, I set finely charted course. Each careful step along my byway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ended up and spit it up. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and did it my way. I've loved, I've left, I've crumbed. I've had one fill of my share of losing. And now, as my tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say I didn't shine? Oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, and he has not. To say the words he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. And one Thursday night, of just finishing that song up, and it struck me as wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Every time I've messed up in my life, every time I've done something bad, every time I've gone astray, you know why? Because I did it my way. Because I did it my way. There's a better plan for us. So with all due apologies to Frank Sinatra, I took the liberties of kind of rewriting this. It kind of goes like this now. And now the end is near. And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, God guided my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but not one that's not forgiven. I prayed to do it right, and he saw me through without exemption. He planned each hard course, each careful step along my byway, and more, much more than this, he showed me his way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, he took it out and bailed me out. We faced it all, and he stood tall and did it his way. I've loved, I've left, I've cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, forgive me, dear Lord, when I didn't do it your way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his God, that he has not. To say the words he truly feels, to be the one who's willing to kneel. The record shows he took my blows. Yes, the record shows he took my blows. We didn't got to. This is what Dave's been trying to get across to us for the last 4 weeks. God had a perfect plan for his world. A perfect plan for his world. And what do we humans do? course we did. Garden of Eden, the flood, the Sodom, we're on and on and on and on. So he finally said, look, I'm tired of this. I'm going to give you my son, my only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him shall have everlasting life. To take away your sins, to bear your sins for you. There is a perfect plan. And in Acts, we talk about these apostles that went out to portray God's perfect plan to the world, to build the church. To build the church as we know it. Well, there were times when they argued. There were times when they got off track. But they always got back on track and followed God's plan. Let me read it all. Simply called God's will is best. Remove this thorn, dear Lord. In vain I cried. Sufficient is my grace, my Lord replied. Not this, dear Lord, I pray. There must be another way. Remember, spake my Lord, I am thy stay. My plans, dear Lord, I sighed. They vanish all. My plans are best, he said, whate'er befall. Then to his will I bow, and I found it best. Henceforth I walked with him. My heart is at rest. I went to a word of service. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine, Dan's college roommate's husband, so we've known him since the 1960s. A different guy. Always humorous, always ready with a joke. Not a very religious guy, but a very loving, kind, generous, humorous man. And his son was doing his eulogy. And he said, you know, one of the things my father left with me, said he left me his secret for a perfect marriage. They were married just about the same time Dan and I were. So he's talking about 59 years of marriage. And he said, the secret to a perfect marriage is that I was always in control. And I controlled this marriage with three sentences, six words. In three sentences. You're right, I'm wrong, I'll change. I thought to myself, thinking through that song, what a great plan for when God's plan is not his. When you seem to be going one way, and God really thinks you ought to be going the other way. Just simply get down on your knees and say, you're right, I'm wrong, I'll change. Please join us.